good to be here tonight. Darren called me last week and asked me if I'd come preach Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I told him I would. I didn't figure I'd be back for about 4 or 5 more years after last time. I said I didn't have much. I said, I won't be up here long. I went over just a little bit, I believe. I'll try not to do that tonight, but I'll tell you, I get so excited sometimes about preaching, I can't help myself. I don't know anything I'd rather do, just preach the Word of God. I was thinking on the way over here tonight, it would be nice if the big preacher showed up tonight. The wind of God would come through that door, and people would get up and testify and praise the Lord. If the big preacher, I like it when it's like that. I don't know if anybody has anything on their heart or not, but who knows? If you do, stand up. Don't hold back. That's the worst thing we can do is hold back. You know, and I was also thinking tonight, what if we was to have revival here tonight and Wednesday night, and you could call Darren up on the phone and say, hey, preacher, we had revival. Why, you was at revival, and you missed it. Now, he wouldn't be mad. He'd be glad. But wouldn't that be something? I'll tell you. I appreciate every song that's been sung. Appreciate y'all's kindness. I always enjoy coming up here. The more I'm around you, the easier it is for me to preach to you for some reason. I don't know. I don't shake like I used to when I came up here. But tonight, if you want to be turning in your Bibles to Genesis 13, and I'm not going to be very long tonight, I promise. I'm going to try to preach a little message to you. Genesis 13, starting at that verse 1. And amen.
I thank you for that song. Yeah. He was on the cross. That song doesn't touch your heart, something's wrong. I guess the word, the verse that means so much to me now is he knew me, maybe loved me. You know, a lot of people on this earth think they know you, or you think you know them, but you really don't. But he knows their heart. I thank him that he could love something like me. For his mercy, without his mercy, I'd be in hell. And I know that. And his love for me, I can't understand that yet. But one day I will. It's like the song, one day I will. I thank him for his blessings. Thank him for each and every one that's out tonight, my brothers and sisters in Christ, for the love we have for each other.
Yes, sir.
And that's one thing for me. Love something that doesn't die. It's like a prayer. All of us pray for Darren this week. And God will anoint him, give him the word that someone there needs to hear.
Yeah.
I pray for Brother Johnny tonight. We all should. God will anoint him. And I will never ask from any preachers that he'll be obedient to God. And that's what I pray for any man that's preaching. I thank him for his blessing. I thank him for his family.
Yeah.
Most of all, I thank him for that day when we get to see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to stand and thank God for saving me. And I would like to thank him for my daughter found a lost coin last Sunday. And she brought it up there and put it in that church. And Wednesday night, there was a friend of hers who got saved at a woman.
Yeah, amen.
I'd just like to thank him and praise his name.
Amen.
Anybody else?
I thought so much about that today, and how much the Lord blessed me through that message. And this afternoon, Henry was getting ready to fly down for a nap, and she said, Mama, I have to tell you something. And I said, okay. And she said, I don't want you to be mad. And I said, just tell me, honey. And she said, I found some candy, and I ate it. And while she was laying there about to go to sleep, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's how we should have that heart that we just want to confess it.
Yeah.
Yeah. let God heal it, because I wasn't mad at her. Now, the mothering of this love for her and appreciated the fact that she came to me and said, I've done it for God. And God's the same way. He loves us so much. He knows what we've done. Just like a mother knows when he does something. He knows what we've done. He sees everything. And he loves us through all of it. And just wants us to come back to him. And I just appreciate that message this morning. I appreciate the pastor who just preached to us.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
I'm not saying this because he's my son-in-law, but Darren's God's man. And I know he goes off to a lot of revivals, and but you know, it's probably, I know it's good for him, and maybe it's good for you all too. And when he gets back, y'all say, boy, preacher, I'm glad you're back here. You know, we've missed you. And hold him up. I tell you, it's a lot of responsibility, I tell you.
Can you turn me up a little bit, brother? I tell you, some preachers holler and scream and blow and snort. I just got one up. You know, they throw snot everywhere.
I'm just not one up. You know, I'm kind of a soft-spoken fella. And when I was a boy, I was always taught to be reverent in the house of the Lord. And I try to do that, you know, be as reverent as I can. And so just turn me up just a notch. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say it was a birthday coming up this week. I know how proud and her mother are. She has come on for all. And I know that when she first came up here, I stood up and I said, Rob, I take care of her. And then I was missing her. And I still miss her. But y'all, thank you. Wonderful care of her. Watched over her.
Y'all can tell who the boss is at my house, can't you? Turn that mic up. Brother Calvin over there, I like the way he volunteers people. You, you're going to do it. That's good. Okay, anybody else? I like it. Glory to God, we're getting somewhere now. I like it. Okay, I'm going to try to preach just a quick message here tonight on making the right choices. Making the right choices. And you know, tonight, I heard little Luke saying, what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear to church? He said, I got so many clothes, I don't know what to wear. And you know, I thought, you know, he's little. And that's an easy choice to make, you know. But one of these days, he's going to have to make other choices. That's going to be a lot harder than just what you're going to wear. Some of you today had to decide what you was going to eat. From the looks of some of you, you made a bad choice. And that's right. And I'm counting myself, too. Some of you had to decide which car to drive tonight. Whether you're going to drive the pickup truck or the car or whatever. Some of you had to decide whether you're even going to be here tonight or not. Preacher's gone. I think I'll just kick back and take a night off. I don't know how it goes. So, all through life, we have choices to make. And I want to challenge all of you tonight to make the right choice. And you might say, well, why, preacher, should we worry about choices? Because your very soul depends upon it. And I've told you the last time, your bottom line is, what did you do with Jesus? And what did you do with the Lord? There were some people in the Bible that made wrong choices. Eve was one of them. And she took of the fruit. And sinned. Broke fellowship with God. She even offered the fruit to her husband. Sucked him in on the deal. The devil was playing on her mind. He was causing a doubt. He was questioning God's what he was doing. And he was getting her to do it. And that's why she took of that fruit. And that was a wrong choice. If you'll remember Sarah, she laughed at God. He told her she was going to have a child when she was old. He was telling Abraham, but she overheard him and she laughed. And God saw her heart. You can't hide from God. And, but he said, no, you've done life. He said, I saw you. So, and that was a mistake when we laugh at a holy and righteous God. That's a dangerous thing to do. Jonah was another one. He made a bad decision. God told him to go preach to Ninevites. He didn't like them. He didn't want to. He went the other way. Disobedient to God. And he made a bad choice there. We see that old Jonah was just a powder all the time. God's man, but he's just powder. And you know, one thing I noticed about Jonah in the Bible, in that last chapter, Jonah and God are going back and forth arguing about each other, about saving those people, the Ninevites, that he didn't like. I noticed after the Bible, you never hear no more about Jonah, except in Matthew, where Jesus said, remember Jonah 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale. I believe because he made that bad decision, because he was a griper, a complainer, that God put Jonah up on a shelf and he never used him again. So folks, we need to be careful the choices we make. Another one was David when he looked on Bathsheba, committed adultery, sent her husband out to get him killed so he could take Bathsheba as his wife. And God punished him for that. He killed his first son. He made a terrible mistake. So tonight, but tonight, of all of them that stands out in my mind, is Abraham and Lot. I'm going to read just a little bit of this chapter 13. It says, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. For we be brethren. It is not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom, Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners, and before the Lord exceedingly. I want to stop right there. Now, my points of interest, the things I want to bring out right there about Lot. We see that Abraham is definitely a righteous man. Following the way. Now, he made some mistakes, but he did repent and went on. But it seemed like Lot got into more trouble, one thing after another. It says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't go all the way in at first. He just pitched it toward Sodom where he could see it. He kind of edged his way in what he was doing. And you know, that's how sin will do us, folks. It'll suck you in real easy. You know, if you take a little, put a worm and put it on a little fish hook, and you lay it out there in that water, and that fish is a swimming around, he'll, that looks good. And he'll take hold of it. Well, you know, that's the same way Satan does us. He'll plant something good in front of our eyes or paint a pretty picture, and the next thing you know, we're back in sin if we're not careful. That's the reason you got to read your Bible every day, pray every day, study every day, come to church. I mean, you just got to. I asked Darren's daddy one time when I first started preaching, I said, can you give me any advice about preaching, about should I take notes, not take notes, or all this stuff? He said, just have a whole lot of God. And I found that to be true. You got to have a whole lot of God. In chapter 13, we see that Lot was selfish, and he was looking for his own self-interest. He was thinking about his cattle. He was thinking about the water and the land and all that it would bear for him. The next thing I see about Sodom, and it was full of homosexual perversion, folks. It was a wicked, wicked place. Leviticus 18:22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. You say, well, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, preacher, that's the Old Testament. That's what they say. But if you turn over to Romans, if you want to, Romans 1, verse 26, verse 27, and I think Romans is in the New Testament, is it not? Okay. Jesus said, I come not to forsake the law, but to fulfill the law. This Bible is like a web, and it just interweaves. The Old Testament applies to us today just as much as this New Testament. Amen? It does. In verse 26 of chapter 1, it says, for this cause God gave up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the nature use into that which is against nature. Women lying with women. And this is going to be a little graphic tonight, okay? I mean, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. It don't matter what I think, what you think. It's God's word. In verse 27, it says, likewise, also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And I'm going to read a little further. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they want no part of God, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, after a while, God won't mess with you anymore. He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. When you get so wicked and so vile. But, you know, folks, Lot was ruining his testimony, pitching that tent towards Sodom. All kinds of perverse things going on. Your testimony is very important. There's people that probably this morning, tonight, they looked in your driveway to see if you was coming to Bethel tonight. But they was watching to see if you was staying home, watching that ball game that went into overtime. And so our testimony is very important. There's people that are watching us to make a mistake. Boy, they'll pounce right on you. I've seen it. And I've heard it. I've heard it this past week. People are watching you and the things you do. And whether you realize it or not, they are. You know, Lot had lost the respect of his family. When his family, he told his son-in-laws there in chapter 19, verse 14, he told his son-in-laws, he said, get out of here. God's going to destroy this place. And you know what? His son-in-laws laughed at him. They mocked him. He'd lost his testimony. And they died there in Sodom and Gomorrah because they didn't go out. He lost his testimony. And I'll say again, people are quick to condemn God's people. They're waiting on you to say the wrong word. be at the wrong place. They're waiting on a preacher to make a mistake so they can tire and feather him and run him out of church. But those are not godly people. And, you know, our day is kind of like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. People are living that way. You don't think so? Well, you go downtown Asheville and take a look. You'll see some things you ain't never seen before, probably. You don't have to go to San Francisco. There's all kinds of perversion going on. The next thing I want to mention, you know, is sometimes people want to blame other people for their bad choices. And I'd like to, the young people especially tonight, your mom and daddy, they've worked hard for you. They put a roof over your head, food on the table, clothes on your back. They've helped you along the way. Then when you get out and things don't go exactly right, that was your choice. Don't blame mom and daddy. Don't blame mom and daddy. Because you're old enough, you made the choice. You see, we all have to make choices in life. What causes us to make bad choices? Now, I've made a few myself, and I'm sure everybody in here has made some bad choices. But one thing is attitude. A lot of us need attitude adjustments. In our churches, there are some people that are negative. You can want to do something in the church, and I guarantee you there'll be one that'll stand up and say, "Nope, that won't work." We don't do it that way around here. That's what happens. There's some people in the church, though, that are positive. I can say this glass is empty. Or I can say, gosh, it's full. There is a drop in there. Attitude, you see. As to the way we accept things. What we need is people with some serving attitude. Our churches need to be full. We need serving attitude. That, you know, that's what Jesus came for, to be a servant. And we should be like him and be a servant. Instead of trying to push down, tear up, we need to try to build up God's kingdom. That's why we come. I hope that's why you come. We see in Mark 5, there's Jesus changed the attitude of a demon-possessed man. This guy was living in tombs. He was cutting himself. He was hurting people. But guess what? Jesus came by. I like it when Jesus comes by. I like it when the wind of God comes over the congregation and you can feel his presence. And Jesus came by that day and he touched that old demon-possessed boy. He must have been naked because after he had touched him and got the demons out of him and went into the swine. The swine went into the sea. They came back and there was that old demon-possessed boy. And the Bible says he was fully clothed and in his right mind. That shows you what a touch of God can do for you. You know, you can come in here a sinner tonight and you can be vile and wicked and have all kinds of bad sins in your heart, bad thoughts in your mind. But Jesus can touch your heart, and you can come to this altar, and you can leave a different person tonight. You can leave a different daddy tonight. You can leave a different mama when Jesus touches you, when the Holy Spirit shows up. You know, unless the Holy Spirit shows up tonight, folks, it's just going to be another meeting. The Bible says, and if the Holy Spirit don't show up, it's all in vain. So you go to some churches, they don't even know what the Holy Spirit is, I don't believe. I've been to churches where they'll sit down and they'll look at you like this and they'll, "Bless me if you can, preacher. It's going to take a miracle." Well, God can do it. My Bible says all things are gospel or possible with God. You know, when you make the right choice and you have the right attitude, you'll see a change of heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Most of us need to have a change of heart. And that's where it starts. God can take an old drunk, touch his heart, and he can come to the altar. He's wasted his life, and all of a sudden, he's a pillar of the community. That's the changes we need, folks. You know, Jesus made the ultimate choice. Yes, sir. Went to Calvary. I don't know why. He was talking, brother. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved all of us when we were unlovable. He didn't have to. He just said, "No, I'm not going down there and do that. They're not worth it. And we're not worth it." But he made us. And it's not his wish that any of us should perish. But folks, the choice is yours. God gave everybody their own free will to choose. God's not sending you to hell. You're sending yourself. That's the way it works. Don't blame him. That is your choice. One thing I'd like to, right here at closing, don't think about the past. That's nothing but the devil. As long as you keep looking back at the past, you're never going to go forward. I've seen people come to the altar and pray about a burden, and when they get up, instead of leaving the burden down there where they should with the Lord, here they are, breaking that burden right back out with them. Well, folks, that'll never work. You're going to have to really mean it when you come to that altar. Don't think about the past. You need to choose today who you're going to serve. But, you know, I've decided that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Now, you see in 2 Peter, 2 chapter 7:8, you might think that Lot was a sinner, but he, according to those scriptures, he was a saved man. He lost everything, but Lot was a saved man. You know what? Old Lot, he's just like me and you. He was a Christian, I believe, but he just had a lot of problems. And we all have problems. Our kids have problems. Or on the job, our husband and wife. We all just have problems. But there's only one that can take care of those problems tonight. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm done. I told you I was going to be short tonight. If someone comes to the piano, somebody needs to make a choice tonight. Somebody needs to make a choice. This is a serious time. I don't take my preaching lightly. I don't take church lightly. You know, y'all probably got work on your mind tomorrow. Other things that are going on, and that's part of life. But if we can just get it through our minds that we're here to get ready to go somewhere else. When you're young people, I used to be young like you. I thought I had all the time in the world. And all of a sudden, overnight, I'm 60-year-old. That's something to think about. As my daddy used to say, it's a matter of arithmetic. Father time catches up with all of us sooner or later. And we need to make that choice. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Oh, don't put it off. People put it off and they think they got all this time. Go out here and they get killed in a car wreck, or they get cancer and die. We don't know anymore. We're living in a different world. We're living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't believe God's going to let it go on much longer. One thing, tonight, if you don't get anything out of this message, make a stand. Make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be sorry, because your very soul depends upon it. Anybody want to come to the altar about anything? Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not going down to that altar. He's been talking about perversion and all this stuff. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's hard preaching. It's going to take a big man, and it's going to take a big woman to come to this altar tonight. Need to come. Tonight, I'm not going to close it out. I'll be back Wednesday night. I just want us to unhook. And we're going to hook back up Wednesday night. Everybody stands. Anybody have a word? All minds, all hearts, all pocketbooks clear. I hope you'll take this message and think about it this week. And we're going to hook back up. Brother Calvin, would you dismiss us?
Father, we thank you for these moments together tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we pray tonight, Lord, that we make choices in our lives that will be beneficial to our living. And God, also praise you, honor you, and lift you above every name. Bless our pastor. Bless Brother Johnny. Pray, God, that you're giving that Wednesday night. We pray, God, you go with us. Where we may go, God, that your protecting hand be upon us. God, we pray for the youth choir tonight, Lord, as they stand to sing. We pray, Father, you'd anoint them. They might learn songs and be a blessing to you. God, we like to listen to them. Lord, we want to praise you. And that's what they do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.